Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialist Kimberly Weeks and strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast with Kim and Brad. We have a bit of an announcement to make for you today, which is that Jackie has chosen for family reasons to step away from the podcast, and we would very much like to thank her for her contributions and her time to date on pulling all of this forward with us.
Absolutely. We're going to miss her as a teammate on the podcast. We're also going to miss her unique perspectives and insights. So, of course, Jackie, thank you very much. Moving forward from this point, it's going to be Kim and I, and we hope that we still bring you valuable content. So. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Just in a little bit of a different format.
Mm-hmm. So, today's topic, having said that, today's topic, we are going to discuss the relationship with a narcissist and what happens when that is finished and moving into healing and recovery. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, there's obviously quite a bit to maneuver and uncover within this. But we're just going to start and see where this takes us today.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think this is going to be mostly an overview of really what healing and recovery actually means after the narcissist, and really kind of recalibrating to life. Because, of course, when you live life with a narcissist, especially if they play a significant role in your life or you have a significant relationship with them, you get used to external referencing. They almost become the reference for the decisions that you make, for the way that you engage in the world, maybe even a lot of times in the way that you see the world. So recovery and healing is, you know, you almost find yourself in a new spectrum of space and time.
That's a beautiful way to say it.
Yeah, it leads us into asking the question of, who are you now? Who am I now? And really being able to truly identify that time and space that you find yourself in, it kind of becomes like a whole new world. Now, of course, right after the discard, whether you had to step away from the narcissist yourself because you needed to draw the boundaries for your own well-being and health, or if you were discarded, it's going to be disorienting either way, and it's going to be a major adjustment. Now, I look at two scales on this. The first scale is the day-to-day life practicality scale. Maybe we've discussed this before, but the day-to-day life practicality scale, and this is very consistent with grief work as well. People have to realize that whenever something ends with a narcissist, there is an underlying trend of grief that goes along with it. So we will end up, as we continue to talk about healing, talk about grief, how to process grief, how to, believe it or not, there's a learning curve to grief, and every loss is different. And so there's a learning curve to every loss, even if you've been through significant loss before. So now let's go back to this scale. So there's the day-to-day scale, and it depends how integrated they are in your life, how prevalent this person is in your life. So if it's an extended family member, it may not have a major day-to-day impact on you. Whereas, of course, if you live with a narcissist and the relationship ends, it's going to have a significant impact on this scale. So I draw the scale from 0 to 10, and to be able to identify yourself on how much did my day-to-day life change after the narcissist, that's really important, right? So if your life is super integrated, you're probably pushing a 10. A lot of people will feel like it's a 12 because their life is completely upside down. Mm-hmm. Everything's changing. Mm-hmm. They don't know where their finances are going to land. They don't know how they're going to spend their time and energy. They don't know what's going to happen to the family. They don't know. And on and on and on it goes. So that's one side of the scale. So that's the day-to-day side. And then you have the emotional side of the scale, the psychological and emotional scale, which, what is the emotional and psychological impact? And on a scale from 0 to 10, you're going to land at a certain level on there as well. So this is really kind of helpful and orienting. Now, right, even if you don't share day to day with the narcissist, it can still be a 10 out of 10 on the emotional scale if there is a tight bond, what you experience to be a tight bond with this person, and especially if there was a deep trauma bond, this is going to be so emotionally disorienting for you that the majority of the work is going to be within that space. And so this is what I call the internal task of healing and recovery, or the internal task of grief. Whereas on the day-to-day side, you have all of these external factors that you have to deal with. Now, if you're a 10 plus on both of these, your life is going to feel completely upside down, right? You're not going to be able, you'll have no time horizon. You can't look forward. It's like you're in a complete pitch black time and space, and you only have a light far enough to see your next step. And so it's literally moment by moment, in some situations, breath by breath.
Yeah. So I like how you even start this conversation around time and space, because it, for me, it frames up as you're entering an entire new foreign land and you don't know how to navigate it. So you've been thrust into this foreign space and you have no map, no navigation. So hopefully some of these tools will help people to navigate through all of this, because the pain of it can be so paralyzing, which is partly why you can only see maybe moment to moment, maybe. Mm-hmm. And you may be able to conceive of some long-term plans, but the execution of that and steps forward, yeah, that just is can feel so, so difficult. I think though, Brad, there's probably some benefit here to also remind people what a trauma bond is. Mm-hmm. And the markers of what that looks like, so that people can identify if that fits or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically the trauma bond, when you're in a relationship with a narcissist, is it's such an emotional, neurological, neurochemical experience that you get spikes of positive emotional and psychological experience, and you have deep, deep crashes. Mm-hmm. And it builds an emotional, almost like an addiction bond for people. And so having to recover and detox from the narcissist, from an individual, a lot of people don't realize that part of this process is actually detoxing.
Yes. Yeah, so I wanted to point to this too, because you talked about it being like day-to-day scale and an emotional psychological scale, but there's a an actual physical component to this. And that's where the neurochemical bond comes into play, because you will physically also need to heal. You may have chronic pain. You may not be able to actually move your body as freely as you remember being able to do prior to. There's a traffic jam that happens in the body, in the actual physical tissues and the muscles. So the detox word is really, really appropriate.
Yes.
You're detoxing toxins out of your body.
And you'll get withdrawal symptoms.
You will.
Genuine physical withdrawal symptoms. Now, of course, I chunk that into that psychological, emotional side of that scale. A lot of times I call it the factor. And that's where it's just like you literally feel like doing nothing. You literally feel like you just want to fall face down on a bed or a couch and not move a muscle. And it's not like it's necessarily even voluntary. It actually feels quite involuntary to do that. And so there you are laying face down and you just don't feel like yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, the one encouragement that I like to give people is, even though you don't feel like yourself in this moment, you're still there. Mm-hmm. This is why we use the word recovery. What are you recovering? You're recovering your sense of self. You're recovering your psychological, emotional stability. You're recovering a sense of life apart from the narcissist. Now, up front, it feels like a monumental feat. Up front, it feels like you've literally lost a piece of yourself. Talking about the physical experience,
yeah.
People will actually describe it as being like phantom pain syndrome.
Like phantom limbs.
Phantom limb.
Yeah, I think the pain can be so paralyzing in all of these ways that part of the what takes you to the sofa in those moments is that you may not even know, you may have no sense of who you are. It feels like you've forgotten. You may not be able to make a decision. If somebody asks you what you like, you don't know. Like, those simple questions can feel burying. Because then that seems, adds to this monumental sense of this task. I think it's just really important to validate for people that if you are experiencing this right now, or you have experienced it, you are not alone. This is perfectly normal, deeply uncomfortable. And however, the recovery is also part of uncovering, right? Sort of pulling back all of those really toxic layers that one has piled on top of another, has piled on top of another until you can't see yourself anymore. But once you can peel back those layers, uncover yourself again in the recovery, you're still standing right there. And a newer, more empowered version of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Because going back to the time and space thing, it really is like you were put on a spaceship, flown out to some weird foreign galaxy, and dropped off in this universe that you've never known before. Or even if you did know something similar, you've been so estranged from it. Coming back to it is a shocking experience. And so that's where we talk about the emotional shock of a discard. We've talked about that previously, like the acute stress disorder potentially leading into post-traumatic complex PTSD. Really, this discussion is about how do you identify. It's about recognizing how impactful this experience has been for you, how disorienting, how monumental of an adjustment it actually is. So this is why these scales are really nice, because if you look at these scales, you go, yeah, my whole day today has changed. Or you go, actually, it doesn't have a huge impact on my day today. I only, you know, engage with a narcissist from time to time. You're able to kind of put yourself on that scale, but then emotionally, where are you at? Physiologically, like you're talking about with the physical experiences, what does that detox look like on the other scale? So when you can basically do that assessment of yourself, you can start to be reasonable with yourself. A lot of people will judge themselves because their concentration is limited. They have a difficult time focusing. Their productivity drops. And it's important to have grace for yourself. Now, this is where we start getting into the steps of, like, how do you actually heal and recover?
I think that's really, I wanted to bring that up as well, the self-judgment. I'm like, well, okay, I don't have actually any chaos in my life at the moment. So why am I not 100% fully functional? Well, why would you be when you've been functioning in this toxic, unhealthy way for, you know, whatever period of time that looks like? Could be, I mean, I wouldn't put a time frame around it because the impact is the impact. But if it has been years, is it reasonable that you just be like, oh, okay, well, I'm out of that now, so I'll just go right back to 100% function? You've been offline longer than you recognize that you've been offline. And that will become more clear as you work through that healing process and as you actually experience the grief of it.
So I'm glad you touch on the grief there, because even though your external circumstances, being away from the narcissist, not getting caught up in all of that drama, if it was a fairly clean break or clean discard, which some of them are really good at doing, just like all of a sudden you don't exist, right? And they just don't want to have anything to do with you. it moves from it being an external chaos to now you're carrying this internal emotional psychological chaos that you have to deal with. And this is why engaging with the practical things of life, like work, other relationships, you have so much internal disruption that you can't fully engage in your external world. So have some grace for yourself. This is what self-love looks like in this situation, is not judging yourself. So many people say, what's wrong with me? There's actually nothing wrong with you. This is how your body is designed to react within the acute stress context. And this is why it's happening. So remember, you're still in there. It's just going to take that time to, as you're talking about, uncover and recover. And that brings it into the realm of you don't have to only learn a new way of being in your new space and time. You have to unlearn the old way of being. So then you have to unlearn and relearn simultaneously, which is a massive, when I use the word monumental, I mean like monumental task.
Yeah, it certainly is, right? The other thing I wanted to touch on here too was relating to other people. You may also notice after you're not with the narcissist anymore, not engaging in the same way, that you actually have some difficulty engaging in any relationship, because it can trigger whether you're engaging appropriately, correctly. It may look very different. I haven't engaged like this with somebody in a long time, and it feels distressing. So you may even feel like, well, I can't even relate to anybody else, which just hits on all of our belief systems of unworthiness, unlovable, undeserving, whatever it might look like for you. So yeah, the grace piece. I just wanted to talk about the relating piece to other people, because part of the recovery is being able to be around other healthier relationships. But those also may be challenging. So just know that as you're recalibrating and relearning, as Brad's talking about here, how to do all of that in a more cohesive, internally cohesive and authentic and safe way.
Yeah, and because the narcissist over time in relationship with them, it's very common within the narcissistic abuse for them to isolate you from others, especially your loved ones like family and close friends, where even reintegrating socially into your social environment, you know people love you, but it can be a challenging time because it's common to feel like you've let them down, almost like you abandoned that relationship for the sake of the narcissist. And that's very, very common, of course. And so trying to rekindle those relationships that have always carried value for you, but you knew there would be hell to pay if you continued those. Reestablishing those in and of itself is a heavy task as well. It's emotionally demanding. You have to have some difficult conversations if they're real relationships. There are apologies that you need to make, amends. So that's a heavy element as well. Like, and I really want people to understand how multidimensional this healing and recovery is. Now, of course, this is just the introduction talk about this stuff. So we're going to dive into it really deep, and we're going to pull the dimensions apart and really explore them and help you, again, understand them, but actually have some practical tools that you can use to move through it. So the first practical tool for today, sit down with these scales. So do the first scale, what's the day-to-day impact on me, on a scale of 0 to 10, right? If you're highly integrated with this person and you're now not integrated with this person in any way, you're at a 10 out of 10. I hope I'm explaining that well. And then on the emotional, psychological side, Yeah, if you're experiencing the lack of focus, the complete overwhelm, the lack of energy, feeling drained, feeling like you don't have any motivation, feeling like just simple tasks are feeling overwhelming, that means that you're pretty high up on that scale, probably a 10 out of a 10 there. So when you can see these things sitting there, it helps you be more realistic with where you're at and more understanding towards yourself and the experience you find yourself in. And just having that awareness in and of itself, you have permission, right? Now, I'm not just saying that on an educational sense. You actually have permission to take the time that you need to take to maybe limit your social interactions with people right now, to limit some of your extracurricular activities. You kind of have to do that cave dwelling and really pull yourself in to make your world a little bit small, because you have so much internal work to do. You can't manage all of these external commitments or the external capacities that you had previously. So to be in a cave, to be able to process. Now, of course, you need the tools. We will provide the tools to use while you're in that space. If you're just in that space, not doing any of the work, it's not going to be productive or healthy for you.
In fact, don't want to ruminate in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. You want to process, but definitely not quote unquote ruminate. Ruminate in a way where you're just spinning wheels. You want to have the wheels turning where they're actually gaining traction. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between, if I'm catching it, the processing and the ruminating. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Yeah, because I think sometimes some people may get stuck in sort of taking too much quiet time, not having a structure around the quiet time, then can get caught in whatever sort of toxic, unhealthy thought patterns that are happening about yourself or the relationship. So it's about having a sort of a plan in place and giving yourself that space to execute that plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And it does. It takes time for that plan to emerge, mm-hmm. and to be able to really reorient yourself to life in general.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just kind of conscientious of the time we've spent on this. I want this to be a brief introduction for people. And yes, we'll be deep diving into this stuff in the following episodes here. So yeah, we welcome you on this healing and recovery journey. And of course, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.